नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड प्रह्लाद पैसिफाइज द लॉर्ड विद प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट 47 रूपे रूपे मे सदसति तव वेद सृष्टे बीजाङ्कुराविवनचान्यदरूपकस्य युक्ता समक्षम् उभयत्र विचक्षन्ते त्वाम् योगेन वह्निमिव दारुषु नान्यतः स्यात्. Translation: By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation. They belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada. As described in the Vedic verses, many so-called students of spiritual understanding follow the 10 different methods known as Mauna, Vrata, Shruta, Tapo, Adhyayan, Swadharma, Vyakhya, Raho, Japa, Samadhyaya. These may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything, janmadiyasyataha. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, sarva karana karanam. This original source of everything is Krishna, the Supreme Ruler. Ishvara Paramah Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. He has His eternal spiritual form. Indeed, He is the root of everything. Bijam mam sarvabhutanam. Whatever manifestations exist, their cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood by so-called silence or by any other hodgepodge method. The Supreme Cause can be understood only by devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 21, the Supreme Godhead personally says, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahiyaha. One can understand the original cause of all causes, the Supreme Person, only by devotional service, not by show bottle exhibitionism. Krishna Chaitanya. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and the effect. So Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Narsingadev, has already expressed his desire to serve his spiritual master Narad Muni. Since Narad Muni's position is that he travels within this material universe, canvassing on behalf of the Supreme Lord and spreading, preaching the glories of the Lord's activities, therefore, the conclusion is that Prahlad Maharaj would definitely be here in this material world. And previous verses he describes that how this material world is definitely not a very easy place. Those who are interested in spiritual advancement, generally these people give up the material realm or give up the activities in the material world and go towards the forest and take up the 10 methods prescribed in the previous verse. Prahlad Maharaj also describes how this is a Maithunya Agar and how it is so strong, the shackles of attachment in this material world are so strong. And here in this verse today, beginning from this verse onwards, Prahlad Maharaj is going to explain how a devotee whose consciousness or whose desire is fixed in serving the lotus feet of his spiritual master, he exists in this material world. What is the basis of his existence? So here in this verse, he addresses the fact that a devotee of the Lord has the sight of the Vedic scriptures. He has the vision of the Vedic knowledge. He can see according to the instructions of the authorized Vedic literatures. This makes a devotee very rare, because the conclusion of the Vedic literature is, or the Vedic literatures are, that the sum total of everything is Lord Krishna, who exists in everything, in each atom of this universe, and is the soul of the entire creation also. This is the goal of the Vedic literatures. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita mentions this fact, that through all the Vedic literatures I am to be known. For I am the very compiler of the Vedic literatures and I am the knower of the Vedic knowledge. Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vaidya vedanta krit vetavit eva chaham. That is the verse 15:15, Bhagavad Gita. So what do the Vedic literatures, how do the Vedic literature help a student who is trying to understand Krishna through them? They give the vision. They give the sight. To understand the cause and the effect, the how everything in this material world is interacting. How the three modes are interacting, how the 24 elements interact with each other, and the super soul, and the soul and the super soul are both unaffected by them. By dint of this knowledge, a person becomes equipped to see, just as Brahmanya Adhaya Karmani, the verse in the Gita explains, just as water stays on the lotus leaf, not for long, and the leaf is unaffected by the water. Although the lotus leaf is within the water, it is unaffected by the water. It does not become wet. Similarly, a person who has knowledge, the supreme knowledge, is unaffected by the interactions that take place in this material creation. And factually, it is these very interactions in this material creation that are source of all attraction in this world. The interaction between the senses and the sense object is the basis of attraction, is the basis of bondage in this material creation. A simple example of how one can, a person who is not completely fixed up in the knowledge of Vedic science. Even though one may have some idea of the Vedic science one has heard, but is not fixed up in the knowledge, one has not received the sight by the blessings of the Vedic literatures, his disposition and the disposition of someone who is fixed, who is perfectly aware of the science of God. Srila Prabhupada, once when he was in the West, I'm not really sure, but maybe New York or some other city in the West, in America, the devotees were leading him down a street towards the temple. And this street that was going towards the temple was the only way to reach the temple. However, the street was not the best of streets to go on. It was not best in the sense of one's consciousness could be easily disturbed. There were a lot of distractions on either side of the street. It was not a very well a street that a gentleman would go down, or a cultured person would go down. And therefore, at the end of this journey, the devotees, as Srila Prabhupada entered the temple, they apologized. Srila Prabhupada, we are so sorry that you have to come down this particular way. And there were so much obnoxious elements all around. And Prabhupada, very grave and calm and in a serene mood, he just, in his typical way, he tilted his head up and said, "Oh, I saw Krishna. There was Krishna." So, they are devotees, they are with Prabhupada, but the modes affect them. And the effect of the modes is, there's some disturbance. Oh, this street is not very nice. It is disturbing. Because there is interaction between the senses and the sense objects. However, a person who's fixed in the knowledge of the authorized Vedic literatures like Srila Prabhupada, he knows that Krishna is the cause, Krishna is the effect, and Krishna is the original source of everything. Ultimately, everything is Krishna's energy. And Prabhupada gave a very simple formula how everyone can apply this. He said, just as you may see Guruji's slippers outside the door. He said, just as you may see Guru Maharaj's slippers outside the door. And you immediately remember, oh, this is Srila Prabhupada's. So the slippers are there, and they remind us of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is not there, but the slippers are there. Like in our temple, we have Srila Prabhupada's in his murti form, and also we have the kartals, which were benedicted by Mother Yamuna. She gave us these kartals that Srila Prabhupada used to personally play with. And we remember, oh, this is Srila Prabhupada's. So we can feel the presence of Prabhupada. Because there's Prabhupada's energy. There's Prabhupada's tadiya. Or in the mundane sense, one, just as soldiers, when they go in the battlefield, they carry within their upper pockets some letters, maybe a photograph. Sometimes it is very tattered and old. But even though it is very tattered and old, it brings about the same emotions. Oh, my son, my daughter, my wife, so on and so forth. So although the photograph is tattered, although the photograph is old, the personality is not there. The presence is evoked because it is the energy of the personality. Where did we get that sight from? How can one visualize a person in his absence? Through the via media of the energy, since we have knowledge, the eyes of knowledge. This belongs to, and there is a connection, there is yoga, there is joining. So similarly, here Prahlad Maharaj is stating, therefore I, in previous verses, one of the previous verses he stated, I am not afraid of this material creation, because constantly we are engaged in hearing and narrating your glories. Tava virya gatha. So, that is the Vedic literatures. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the incidence of this Brahmana describing his 24 gurus is given. And Avadhut, totally uncaring for his existence, simply lying there like a python, is approached by the king. Oh, you appear to be a realized soul. Can you tell me how you achieved this realization? So he said, I got my knowledge from these 24 gurus. And one of the gurus was an Ishukara or an arrow maker. This arrow maker was engaged in making a very straight arrow. And he was so much engrossed in making that arrow that the king of the country, along with his whole entourage, making a big din and noise and chaos, was passing by. Right? Just like sometimes devotees, when they take the Lord's Shobha Yatra out, there's so much of dancing and there's so much of kirtan. Everyone is looking down from their windows, from their shop fronts. What is happening? And they become attracted. Similarly, when a king goes by a particular road, a particular street, there's a lot of commotion. Naturally, everyone will be attracted because there are drums beating, there are people shouting slogans, there are brahmanas chanting mantras. Then there are elephants and horses and there are mixed sounds. So a lot of cacophony there. But the Ishukara, the arrow maker, is undisturbed because he knows. Before he set out to make his arrow, he knew if he lost his concentration even for a moment, then the arrow would be rendered useless. A slight disturbance or distraction and a shifting in the weight, shifting in the center of gravity, would render the arrow useless, and hence the person who discharges the arrow will be left vulnerable. And it could lead to disastrous consequences. So before he set out on the task of making the arrow, he knew what he was going to make. He was fixed in his consciousness. He was fixed in achieving his goal. And he did not allow any external disturbances to any way disturb him, including the king going by. And therefore the example of the king is given. So in the purport, the Sanskrit translators, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they explain that in this material world, first of all, they explain that similarly, a devotee, his goal is fixed on trying to serve Krishna and achieve Krishna's lotus feet. And a devotee, before he sets out on this task, he realizes that a slight moment of distraction could mean millions of births in this material world again. Millions of lifetimes in this material world again. Which could mean forgetfulness of Krishna for so many births, and there is no surety when one will have the fortune of meeting a devotee of the Lord again. So before one sets off on this task, before a devotee sets off on this task of fixing and concentrating on his mind on Krishna, he is perfectly aware of what could be the challenges, and therefore he focuses his mind, his concentration, his consciousness on the goal, that is to serve Krishna, and is determined not to allow anything else to disturb him, even if it is the king of sense gratification coming by. With all his paraphernalia, if the king of sense gratification comes by, a devotee is fixed like the arrow maker. So that is the understanding given in the purport. And the interesting point in the purport was that these distractions are antar and bahir, within and without. The bahir distractions or the bahya distractions are the distractions of the sense objects, immediate sense objects. For the tongue, eating, for the or speaking out unnecessarily, for the ears, immediate sound. And there are internal distractions. And the internal distractions are impressions from the past and hopes for the future. Everyone is disturbed by these internal impressions. The past impressions which cause one to lament. Or sometimes one simply lives in the royal past. Oh, we were such and such. Like, sometimes, now after so many days, when we get together, old friends, we say, it was so nice in the past days. You know, so we are living in that glorious past. So those impressions are there. And there may be other impressions of the past, very powerful, which can take us, take up our important time and hopes for the future. In the future, tomorrow onwards, this is what we are going to do. We plan out our future systematically, which is nice. What is required is present understanding. The sight from the Vedic literatures, what is the present? What is happening right now? Right now, I as a spirit soul is engaged in this great interaction with this material body, this material mind, and there is a lot of karshan, there's a lot of disturbance going on. How to tackle this? Krishna is the cause. Krishna is the effect. Krishna is the source of everything. Simply by taking shelter of Krishna. Simple verse, Bhagavad Gita, oft quoted, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Very simple. So, this is the benefit, or this is the fruit that the Vedic literatures have to offer. The translation, the last line is stating something pertinent. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. And the line states, therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man by considering cause and effect can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. I would like to take this reference from the Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. This word sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means very, very rare. And I began this purport, discussion today by stating that a devotee who has this perspective or a devotee engaged in devotional service is very, very rare. So the Vedic literatures can give us the sight, can give us the understanding of what is cause and effect and how Krishna is this all in all. However, that does not guarantee an eternal platform. Otherwise, why should they say Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavan and Sudurlabha? Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Why should it state Sudurlabha? That Mahatma is Sudurlabha. There are so many people who are reading the Vedic literatures and they are all Gyanavan, Gyanavat. They're not ordinary people, they're not the ordinary theologians. But they are the Gyanavat. They are those who are reading authorized Vedic literatures, and they have this understanding, or at least they come to know that Krishna is a cause of all. But only a few, only those rare souls actually surrender to Krishna, and they are called the Mahatmas. So by devotional service, those engaged in devotional service understand how. And three shlokas down, I'm going to read it in advance. It states, such wise men hardly bother with the Vedic study. Indeed, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Therefore, rather than take this verse out of context in its individuality, I would like to take it in its totality with the three verses that are there. It's a continuation of verses. So, wise men are those who do not unnecessarily wrangle with the tarkavad, with the debatable knowledge in the Vedic literatures. Because knowledge means, yes, you can always take position of for and against. But when one surrenders in devotional service, there's no longer a question of duality. There's no longer a question of being for or against. One has to be for. So only those who are engaged in devotional service can actually understand and realize that Krishna is a cause and they are safe. They are the only people who are safe in this material world. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this incidence of Kunti Maharani praying, taking the padashray or the shelter of Krishna. And she begins her prayers by saying that only those who are materially exhausted can actually take shelter of you. Just as after running a race, a big marathon, or after a marathon book distribution, 6 hours, 8 hours, or after marathon cooking, a devotee just flogs down and says, "Oh, now I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I can't do anything." Similarly, only one who is materially exhausted can actually receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akinchana, one who is materially exhausted. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport states that four things, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruti and Shri, good birth, opulence or an opulent birth, Shruti, knowledge, one becomes very knowledgeable, and Shri, beautiful. These lead to a person becoming puffed up or very proud. And this pride leads to some type of material satisfaction. And this material satisfaction does not allow one to helplessly call out the name of Krishna. O Krishna, O Govinda. On the other hand, one becomes one who is materially exhausted. I cannot go on with this material aspirations anymore. Such a person helplessly can call out Krishna's name. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a person who has fever. He says, just as fever is the symptom of an unhealthy body, similarly, the material body is the symptom of an unhealthy spiritual existence, the unhealthy existence of the spirit soul. Now, if the body is unhealthy and there is fever, the best procedure is to decrease the fever. Similarly, when one is materially satisfied, the fever of material existence is high. Therefore, one who willingly decides to reduce the material fever, that person is qualified to helplessly call out the names of God. And Prabhupada says, such a process is therefore acceptable. A devotee can give up. And recently I was reading one series of writings in the diary of one senior sannyasi, and he was explaining one of his experiences which inspired him. He said he knew a boy who lived in Vrindavan, born in Vrindavan, born to parents who were Brajabasis, and this boy, he grew up in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's movement, got educated in Srila Prabhupada's Gurukul. And after many, many years, the sannyasi was meeting this boy who was in his youth. And this boy was very well established in devotional service, and he had the desire to preach the message of Krishna as given by Srila Prabhupada. But there was some remorse in his countenance, and therefore he inquired from him, "Is there something that makes you a little unhappy?" He said, "Yes. My father has left the family and taken sannyas." And he said, Really? What? How did this happen? He said, actually, my father was renounced right from the beginning. He was never attached to family life in that sense, but he never allowed his renunciation to come in his duties of family life. He performed his duties properly, and as soon as he found me, his eldest son, now grown up and responsible enough to take care of me, he left without telling anyone. Some days back, he had called all of us and he said, my desire to take sannyas is still very strong. And we thought that, yes, now maybe it could happen, but we would never realize that it could happen so soon. And the sannyasi asked his boy, so, how do you feel about it? He says, actually, I'm so grateful to my father. He was my path pradarshak guru. He was my siksha guru. He taught me how to live. He taught me how to understand Krishna. He showed me by his example how to practice Krishna consciousness in this material world. And finally, he's shown me how to leave. And the sannyasi said, this was very inspiring. So when one is materially exhausted, formally that procedure can take place at any time. But internally, when one feels materially exhausted, such a person always depends on Krishna and feels Krishna's presence. And therefore, Queen Kunti is praying, my dear Lord, those who have such opulences, it is very difficult for them. Not impossible, but very difficult for them. However, if someone is bereft of these four opulences, he can helplessly call out your names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this internal renunciation from material aspirations is what keeps a devotee fixed in his devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Externally, it may manifest now or later on or otherwise. And in her prayers, Queen Kunti so wonderfully, she expresses how these distractions can be one's understanding of Krishna is there, but still, there are such powerful attachments in this creation that despite Krishna's presence, despite the knowledge of Krishna's mercy and Krishna's potency, unless and until one can have this complete renunciation from any material designation, it is slightly difficult to surrender completely to Krishna. And her prayers, when Krishna is leaving Hastinapur to go to Dwarka, Queen Kunti is very much disturbed. And she glorifies Krishna as the source, the cause, and the effect of everything. As name and fame of a particular body are finished with the disappearance of that body, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities along with the Pandavas and Yadus will end at once. This is a deep realization. Right now she has got for the first time almost in her life, there is some stable period of prosperity, of no immediate danger. Yudhishthira Maharaj is king. And she sees Krishna leaving and she is Just as the body finishes, who remembers the name and fame? It is gone. It may remain for a few years and after that people replace whatever name and fame. They may erase the history books. So similarly, all our name and fame, mine plus the Pandavas and Yadus, will end if you do not glance on us. O Gadadhar, our kingdom is now marked by your presence of your lotus feet. And therefore it appears beautiful, but when you leave, it will no longer be so. So here, again, she's seeing Krishna's presence everywhere. Now, it is quite possible, since she's saying, maybe Krishna walked all over Hastinapur and placed his lotus prints. Quite possible. Or maybe this is her
Emotion.
Emotion means she understands that Krishna's lotus print in the form of his mercy on them is existence in Hastinapur everywhere. Now, if he leaves, the mercy of Krishna may leave. And then that is their end. Because without Krishna's mercy, how can they exist? All these villages and cities are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grass are in abundance, trees are full of fruits, rivers are flowing, hills are full of minerals, and oceans are full of wealth. And all this is due to your glancing over them. So all this prosperity that is there, everything, this is what this Vedic literature, what this verse today is stating. Seeing Krishna as a cause and effect of everything. But then she says, and these verses are very nice, but her that's the translation. O Supreme Lord, O Lord of the universe, O the very form of the universe, please remove my affectionate bonds with the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. And this prayer by Queen Kunti illustrates how a devotee who's renounced internally is fearful of even the slightest distraction. Even if they are devotees, because there is some material designation attached, these are my sons, these are my relatives, this is my father. Because she has the vision and she has surrendered by her devotional practice unto Krishna, she prays to Krishna that please sever these ties and let my mind run towards you just as the Ganga runs towards the ocean. Many times we chant this prayer, many times we have heard this verse, Gange Vaugham Udanvati. The realization of these prayers by Queen Kunti made her beg Krishna to sever her ties with the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. She thought that maybe this could be an obstacle to her devotional service. I would like to conclude this particular episode by giving one example from the life of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, of how devotional service actually imparts all knowledge. However, devotional service is only possible when one does it under the instructions of an authorized guru who follows authorized scriptures. Even if one has knowledge of the authorized scriptures, maybe one has received it from understood it from very well-known sources. But if there is no realization of service based on the instructions, then attachments, very, very subtle, can distract one from flowing, from one's mind flowing towards Krishna, from making the perfect arrow. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was one day in his math, and a pandit, a very, very renowned, well-known pandit, visited him. And he had heard that Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a great exponent on Vedic literatures. And in a very humble way, he approached him. And he said, please, I would like to hear from you the explanation of such and such passage. Now, seeing his humility and his demeanor, he was a big pandit and a big leader, well known, well respected, very opulent. In terms of name and fame. But he approached Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, right now I am busy. But in the meanwhile, you can go and ask one of my disciples. Now it happened to be the Prabhupada Marathon month, I guess, or whatever. They had some distribution program going on. All the devotees were out. The only disciple that was left was in the DT kitchen. And he was just cleaning up the vessels after the deities had been offered bhoga. So when he came in, the Panditji came in and said, Guruji has sent, and these are his instructions. He asked me to refer with you and get some understanding of these Vedic passages. The Brahmachari there said, I will definitely follow Guru Maharaj's instructions, but right now this is more important. I have to clean these vessels. They have to be ready for the next offering. However, there is a way out. If you assist me in cleaning these vessels, we can get both the instructions done. The instruction that the vessels should also be clean and the instruction that we should discuss this can be done if you can assist me. And Panditji, because of his faith in Siddhant Saraswati Thakur's words, because he was trying to follow his instructions and he was humble enough to realize that this is the only way I can receive knowledge, he decided to clean up the vessels. And he cleaned the vessels and all the vessels got cleaned. And then the Brahmachari, he said, all right, now he wiped off the water from his hands, dried his hands. He sat down and said, yes, what was the verse? And Panditji said, no, it's all right. I have understood its meaning. And Panditji left. And the Brahmachari, now, they are used to people like this. You know, someone suddenly realizes, oh, I've already understood. So they don't know much. You know, all right, maybe he's understood. Who knows? I have much more seva to do. So he said, all right, and he engaged in his seva. So he was leaving the mutt Panditji, and Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur noticed him from his room, and he called him and asked him, so, did you understand? He said, no, your brahmacharya was so busy, we did not have time to discuss. So Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur said, all right, let us discuss. And Panditji folded his hands very warmly and in a humble attitude said, no, I have already understood. I have understood the meaning of this Vedic literature, the passages. So this is what wise men know. Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sadurlabha. That sarvam iti, that Vasudev, Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his paraphernalia. And to engage Krishna's paraphernalia in Krishna's service is the devotional service of devotees, which includes our own existence, this material creation. Everything is study of Krishna. So once we have knowledge from the Vedic literatures, oh, Krishna is a cause, the source of everything. This is Krishna's energy. This is Krishna's studya. When we engage Krishna's studya under the instructions of the spiritual master, we engage with whatever facilities we have, understanding that we are not qualified to do it, but still we have the opportunity. Why give it up? Why lose the opportunity? So with great determination, not wanting to lose the opportunity, but feeling totally unqualified, somehow we have been benedicted. When we engage Krishna's paraphernalia in Krishna's service, then that devotional service keeps one fixed in Krishna consciousness. So this is the month of marathon. Srila Prabhupada, or it's coming, Srila Prabhupada, his deepest desire was that all devotees should somehow or the other engage the living entities in receiving Krishna's mercy in the form of Srila Prabhupada's translations of the Vedic literatures. This powerful devotional service is available, this opportunity is available. Why let go of it? But understanding that Krishna is a cause and the effect of everything, very humbly praying to Krishna and praying to Krishna's devotees and to the Paramatma, the Super Soul in the heart of the other living entities, we can approach them. Please take a book. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.